Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
In defiance of a deadline from Kiev to vacate, pro-Russian separatists continue to occupy government buildings in up to 10 cities and towns across eastern Ukraine. With Moscow promising to protect people in the region from violence, tensions are mounting. So is the best analogy here to think of this as a game of chicken or chess? A straightforward game of who blinks first, or a more complex series of orchestrated provocations intended to manufacture a conflict? Andrew Jack, a reporter with the Financial Times, is in Donetsk, and I asked him if Kiev has moved any of its chess pieces in response to its 7 a.m. deadline being ignored.
Obviously, it's difficult. You can't be everywhere on the ground at once, but certainly all the places I visited today, there was no sign of any Ukrainian military intervention, no soldiers, no helicopters, no tanks or armoured personnel, cars, anything like that. So there doesn't seem to really have been any sort of official military response on the ground.
And if they were to take action, how hard would it be to dislodge these separatists? Are they well dug in? Are they well armed?
It depends on where you are. There are some centres, Lugansk and Donetsk, the regional capitals, for example, where there seem to be quite a lot of armed people inside the buildings, pretty well defended. But some of the other places I visited, for example, Slavyansk, which was taken over the weekend, some of the buildings look fairly amateurishly held by a small handful of local people, even without any arms visible. But of course, there may be some more serious armed experts behind the scenes somewhere, or at least able to mobilize at short notice. What you do see otherwise is a number of roadblocks along the roads, again, apparently primarily manned by local people, but not in any way seriously armed.
So on the one hand, local, amateur and not well armed, but on the other, there are those who would, as you say, appear to be better organised. Are there any firmer indications as yet as to whether Moscow is behind all of this or not?
I think it's all very anecdotal. There's clearly some individuals in camouflage without any markings on them and with equipment that wouldn't necessarily be that easy to get hold of. But of course, in this part of the world, there's an awful lot of military equipment, uniforms and other stuff that can be obtained from different sources. So there's got to be a suspicion around the coordination of some of the actions and the style and the apparent professionalism of some of the early seizures. But there's also a bit of war of information with some videos of kind of that are difficult to verify. And certainly some of the people, as it were, the public face now looks more local, but it seems hard to imagine there hasn't been some pretty extensive organisation and support for this activity.
What are Kiev's reservations about removing them now? Why haven't they taken action? Are they afraid of what they might get embroiled in?
It's difficult to say. I think there's some question potentially of divided loyalties and of those Ukrainians, even if they're not from the region, feeling a sense of solidarity and not wanting to attack their own. There's perhaps some issues about the level of expertise and resource available. And then, of course, there's a concern that if there is bloodshed, that could escalate the situation and make it even more difficult and more international.
And what has happened in Russia today? What signals has Vladimir Putin given of the level of support that he is prepared to lend to these separatists?
Well, the implication is that he would not want to see this escalating into some sort of war, and Russia could have a role. And on the other hand, pretty critical of the West. So it's been sort of escalating rhetoric and no indications of a sort of firm condemnation of violence and the movements by some of these local groups to take over government buildings. No sort of criticism of that that might try to de-escalate.
European Union foreign ministers are meeting in Luxembourg today to discuss the crisis and to approve measures. Are they likely to have any impact, do you think?
Presumably there will be a lot more tough words. There could potentially in the coming days be tougher economic sanctions. I think it's pretty unlikely that we'd see any military intervention. And also there's a bit of a question about how effective sanctions or political isolation would be for Russia. So I think hopefully there's some degree of influence, but not sure it necessarily could be at this stage decisive.
Now, the talk in Kiev is of allowing referendums to decide on the future shape and political structure of Ukraine, and that those referendums might be held at the same time as a presidential election. How do you think one might impact on the other?
Well, of course, the situation is very much in flux at the moment, and there are concerns that if there's more instability, that could in itself lead to the abandonment or delay or change in the approach to elections. But there's no doubt that if the government in Kiev is serious about this extent of perhaps greater decentralization of power, that would potentially ease some of the strongest demands of a lot of local people here who do feel abandoned by Kiev, who are receiving a message from which they perceive as being of effectively a different country, and one that at the very least doesn't really care and has allowed the East to decline economically, or at a more extreme perception, one that is very nationalist, in their view even fascist and pro-European. And in that sort of environment, I think messages that there could be greater delegation of power and financing and so on could be appealing.
So on the whole, would it be your analysis then that this is a crisis that can be negotiated out of rather than a scenario in which we are on an inevitable slide towards military conflict?
I think everyone's hoping for that. I think there's an awful long period of political rhetoric from the Kiev leadership and from local administrations across the country, which hasn't been followed by action. So there's no doubt going to be some suspicion around that. But I think for an awful lot of ordinary people, at least that prospect of a way to avoid tension and violence and potentially provide greater delegation of authority could be a solution, is clearly a desirable one.
Andrew Jack of the Financial Times speaking to me from Donetsk earlier on.